Hey friends, I'm Naomi, and I'm glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives bring their ideas to life. I believe we each have our own brilliance to share with the world, and when we lean into that, we have opportunities to live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of A Creative Purpose with Naomi. And I'm so excited for this conversation with Sadie. I know that we're going to get a lot of golden nuggets of wisdom just by her sharing her story and really diving into mindset and everything else that she has for us. So welcome to the show. And Sadie, can you introduce yourself, please?
Well, thank you for having me, Naomi. I'm Sadie Evans. I'm an author, a speaker, and I'm the podcast host of Soul Food with Sadie. I'm really someone who took the obstacles in my life and really built a staircase to my success. And when I say that because everything that I went through, I learned to grow from it so that I could become a better person. So I learned the lesson and it made me who I am today.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. So an author, can you tell me kind of what you wrote and what was that process like?
So I'm the author of 7 books. Actually, my first book is called The Cries from a Gracefully Broken Woman. And that's a book about my life. And then I wrote a self-love journal and a self-love devotional and then children's books. It was more like a calling for me, I think, because when I was in college, I did not like to write. I remember my professor said, "You're going to be a famous author one day." And I'm just looking like, yeah, right. You know, because I did not even like to write. So when I moved to Georgia in 2018, I was escaping a domestic violence relationship. And thank you that I survived it. So I was going through that process. There was a lot of hurt there. And I was really trying to get to the root of where I attracted such a toxic environment for myself. So I began to write and I wrote my story. And it just birthed like the author in me. It really wasn't something that I wanted to do. It's not something I said, "Oh, when you grow up, would you want to be an author?" No, it was more like a calling. It was who I am, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah. So like the writing process, was that then part of the healing journey of you just sharing your story and getting it out with the world? Or like, what did you learn from that process, I guess?
I learned that writing is, I feel like it's a mind, body, and soul thing. I feel like it connects them all. I feel like it gave me meaning. It allowed me to see where I did have these limited beliefs, where these roots did come. And then it also allowed me to get a strategy, like build a strategy to get out of it. Writing is so therapeutic. Like, I really recommend that when people say, "What can I do?" Write, like, get it out of you, get it out of you, write. And automatically your brain wants to help you. So your brain, once your brain sees it down, it wants to figure out a way to help you get out of this mess. So write, I love to write.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yes. And it's funny how we see ourselves or mm-hmm. how we're like, "Oh, I'm not a writer," but then... Now, how many books in and you're a writer? Yeah. So even if I think that writing is just for us, mm-hmm. we are a writer. And like you said, it's very therapeutic to see the words on the paper and process and stuff.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. So with the children's books, how did mm-hmm. those come about?
Well, I wrote those because I have 5 children. So I have 4 boys and 1 girl. And I really wanted them to have something, you know, that they can see a reflection of themselves. Also, why being inspired. Like, so I wanted to edify them at a young age so they wouldn't have to go through the processes that we go through when we don't know and love ourselves from a child. So I wrote those books and I put them as characters in the books and I birthed those books like that so that when they read them, they would see their name in front of something so powerful.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Yeah. So as you have kind of journeyed on, mm-hmm. have there been, I mean, obviously you shared domestic violence. Have there mm-hmm. been other growth opportunities for you that you've had to overcome and just kind of have learned big heart lessons from?
Absolutely. I really believe in new levels, new devils, because it's like the higher you go, the more, you know, more stuff come to you. So even while on this process, there was a lot of times that I shut down because I was afraid of what others might think of me, because these people knew me from when I was in my mess. So when I was bringing messages and being positive and really shifting my mindset, they was looking like, who are you? Like, why do you think you valuable enough to speak this into someone's life? Because again, they had these conditioned thoughts about me because where I used to be. So that hindered me from really, like, I would say pivoting to who I am and standing up for who I am, like wanting to put books out, wanting to be on podcasts, wanting to speak, really wanting to thrive in who I am destined to be, because I was placing my value in people outside of me. And that was, and still is sometimes, one of the biggest hurdles that I face on this journey.
Yeah, I think that's so common, because I know I deal with it too. It's like, I think it's so funny. Recently, I've just been digging, like, why do I care so much about my high school self or the people I knew during that time? Like, you're 20, almost 30 years out of that. Yeah. Why do I still hold that concern about how others see me? So as it pops back up with new levels, what are some ways that you have found to kind of maybe more quickly get out of that? Or what do you tell yourself? Or do you have mantras? What's helped you with that?
I always say that I'm destined for such a time as this. I do affirmations a lot. I'm destined for such a time as this. My value is not placed or found in nobody outside of me. My value is within me. And I always remind myself that everything that I went through was for somebody else, because there was people on my journey that helped me get out because they showed up for themselves. So just reminding myself of those things and saying those affirmations and just saying, why am I placing all my value in something that's outside of me? Like, I came here on this earth alone. I'm going to leave alone. So why am I so focused on what another person think about me? And it really helped. It really, really helps.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like, who are you for and who are you not? And just letting the who not slide away.
Yeah.
They'll find their people, I'll find my people, and we'll just keep going forward. Yeah.
Exactly. That's how I feel about it. Like, if they for you, and we got to always remember, everybody is not going to like us, and it ain't their job. That's not their requirement to like us. We are destined for a certain amount of people. Certain people are attached to us and certain people are not. I mean, we just got to, if we can receive and accept that, I feel like it'll help us from, like, hindering ourselves from thriving, because we want everybody to like us, everybody to purchase our products, everybody to listen. No, it's not supposed to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, like, getting stuck in that, like, who does she think she is kind of mentality. I know that's, you know, I've let that stop me way too many times, and I care to admit. But I think also stepping into that ourselves, like, who do we think we are in that whole level up? Like, I can do this, you know? And I am not who I once was because of what I went through.
Exactly.
And showing up as that new person. What do you think? I'm always curious to find out, what do you think about the thinking, like, fake it till you make it? How do you see that? Like, do you believe in that? Do you not?
I don't. I feel like that develops imposter syndrome. So what I believe in is faith it, like, really speak to that stuff and to yourself. Like, I'm not going to go out and live above my means because I know I'm this wealthy woman in the future. I'm just not going to do that. So when I see people, like, living and operating in that, I like to think of imposter syndrome, like you being somebody that you're not. And I believe in being who you are until you get to where you go. Like, start where you are and just be who you are until you get to that level, you know, because it's going to come as much as you stay consistent and really believe in yourself. And like you said, ask yourself, who do I think I am? I believe it's going to come. So no, I don't believe in fake it till you make it. I do believe in faith in it until you make it.
I love that spin on it, because I also have a hard time fake it till you make it, because I want to live an authentic authenticity. Yeah. How do I say that?
Authenticity. Yes.
And so it's like, why not just show up as I am right now and show people the growth, right? I feel like sometimes we show up when we want things to be perfect right away. But then I think that disconnects people from really the growth that can happen when you just allow yourself to process and move through things.
Exactly. I actually just did a video a couple of days ago and I spoke about that. A lot of people are waiting on the perfect moment. There's no such thing as the perfect moment. Because let me tell you, when there are people hurting, they're not looking for perfect. They're looking for relatability. They're looking for somebody that was in my shoes, that's going through what I went through and overcoming it to help me. I'm not looking for, I can't receive from a perfect person because I'm not even at that stage to see myself perfect right now. So I'm looking for somebody that's showing up for themselves right where they are and they can relate to what I'm going through in that moment.
Yeah, that's so good. It's that connection point.
Yes.
And it brings humanity to what we're all going through.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Yeah. Exactly. So how do you, how do you manage everything that you're working on? What does that look like in the day to day? And how do you kind of juggle it all?
I'm really organized. I have not always been like that. So let me just say that. But I realized that when I'm unorganized, it causes more stress. Like stress causes physical pain in my body. That's how stress happens for me. So when I'm unorganized, I know I start hurting. I start getting tired. I start feeling ill. So I realize, like, what can I do to stop this? So I am organized. Like if I say I'm gonna do something on Monday, I don't do it on Sunday, Thursday, or Wednesday, just because I'm running behind. I give myself grace and I do it on Monday. If I say, oh, well, today I'm gonna record, I have to do my schedule real tight. Like it used to be every day I was available to do podcasts. I said, no, I have to shrink in what's best for me. So that's how I literally balance everything, is asking myself, what's best for me? What's going to suit me? Although I want people to get on my podcast and I want to do that, what's best for me? Although I want to edit 7 days a week, what's best for me? And that keeps me balanced. And then this, like I utilize my planner, like it's my friend. I'm talking about everything. What time I'm going to cook dinner? What time I'm going to go to the store? I utilize that planner and it really has helped me stay balanced.
Yeah, that's so good. And I agree with that too. Like just time blocking, like being realistic with our time. And sometimes I find, like, I know when I work with clients, like how much time does it really take to do this? Like we were like, oh, it'll take half an hour. Well, then if it really takes an hour, then we've already set ourselves up for, you know, not achieving what we need to do. So
exactly. That time blocking is, it's our superpower in our businesses if we do it and allow it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Do you have a favorite planner that you use?
This one, I don't know who's it by. See it bigger. It's just, you know, I wear glasses originally, but it's just big. Yeah. These are like later months, but it's just big is, well, May. It's just my thing. Like,
yeah,
it got a lot of writing space, like a whole lot of writing space. I just like it.
Yeah. I'm a paper and pen highlighter kind of person too. Yeah. So I think as creatives, we need to see it visually in a few different ways.
Exactly.
So that's awesome.
That's
fine. Yeah. So besides your writing, how else do you like to show up and serve others? Like, what does that look like?
I like to speak. I love to speak. I feel like, and I just start getting into that because at first I was shy about it. And I think it was lack of confidence again, because my value was in other people. But I like to speak because I feel like my voice is strong, first of all. And then secondly, I feel like I get downloads. So I'll be really excited about giving what I just received to other people. So yes, I like to speak. And then I have a coaching program and I did that all wrong the first time I did it. I was like 3 days out the week, I was just overwhelmed myself. So I really haven't, you know, started back doing that because I overwhelmed myself with the first cohort of it that I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this no more. I burnt myself out. So really showing up for myself is speaking, my writing. I'm more so liking to speak more than write now, because I feel like everybody don't read books. But everybody got a social media. Everybody's going to watch YouTube. Everybody's going to get something from there. So speaking is really my biggest thing for showing up for myself right now.
Yeah. I love how you keep sharing, like, how can I best show up for myself?
Yes.
And that has looked different in different seasons. And I think as people that want to create and serve other people, that's going to look different in different seasons.
Exactly.
And it does take a lot of work to start something new. And so realizing, okay, maybe I can't dedicate that much time to this, and just like changing with it. I love that you're allowing yourself to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Letting it really flow and just being natural, because again, as you said, showing up for your authentic self, like, why am I going to pretend to be somebody? Like, what benefit is that going to be for me or my followers? Because at the end of the day, your true self is going to show. So you might as well start off being your true self. Like, you might as well.
Yeah. So. It's just easier, right? Because they say once you start lying, it's hard to keep track of what you're
saying. Like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. So how do you... like, as you look forward to your goals and how you want to continue to show up in the world, what does that process kind of look like? Do you have quarterly meetings with yourself and map out the next quarter, or do you do yearly goals, or what does that back end stuff kind of look like?
I do quarterly, actually. So I do quarterly, and then I do monthly as well. I wish that I could show you my other boards in my room. So every month I set a set of goals, and usually I have those goals achieved by the 20th. And if I don't, I give myself grace, you know? So every month I do like self-reflection. I watch videos that's going to help me get to my next level. I invest in like a coach or whatever I need to push me into that next level. So I'm really big on setting goals and setting strategies. How am I going to achieve this goal? Because a lot of times people set these goals, but they don't set a plan on how they're going to get there. So now you got a goal that you didn't even accomplish, and that don't feel good for nobody. So what I do is I set my goals. I set a strategy on how I'm going to accomplish this goal, and I set a date to it. It's called a SMART goal method. I'm sure you heard of that. So set that goal, set a strategy, and set a date to how you're going to achieve it and when you're going to achieve it. And automatically, again, our brain wants to solve problems. So our brain is going to allow us to do it, because now we have built a whole strategy for it to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And I think, right, just as a creative, right, I think sometimes we get stuck in this seasons of action and then seasons of inaction. And I think we need both, because we need rest. But like, I don't know if you've ever had seasons where you get stuck in the cycle of confusion, like, what should I be doing next? And I don't know, I think that's kind of a normal thing when we're trying to start something new. So how have you gotten yourself more clarity and moved then to take action on something in those confusing seasons?
Literally, I can't even answer that really, because I'm still there. Like, I'm still working through that. So I don't want to sound like, oh, I got it all together, because that's far from the truth. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But what I do basically is I just be like, look, I'm going to do these goals. It used to be I would go all over the place, and I will, when I get in those chaotic moments, I will get chaotic too. And then I'll just throw my hands up, because it was just impossible to get everything done. So I set goals on how I want to achieve them, what order, and I just keep going like that. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's really all that I do.
Yeah.
And it works for me.
Yeah. Thanks for being honest about that, because I think it is true. We want this clarity for the long haul, but really we just have to understand, like, it's going to come back around.
Yeah.
And our goal is just to play it out, sort it out as best we can to keep moving forward and not be scared of, like,
what's,
you know,
the
season of, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly.
It's just kind of part of the creative process.
It is. Yeah. It really, really is. Like, I wouldn't consider myself a creative. I didn't think that, but I feel like I am. Like, you know, so every time it's a new name to it. So I didn't know that, but I am.
And that's one question that people ask me, like, what, how do you define a creative? And I'm like, anybody bringing beauty to the world, you have a vision, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what artists have. They have this idea, and it's like, it could be with your words. It can be through your actions. It could be through your voice. It could be like any method, you know, but you have a vision to help other people make life better for others. And so that's kind of my general, how I see creatives and stuff like that. So, and more multi-passionate, some people say that too, you know, have lots of ideas. So,
Yeah, I'd be wondering, like, where did this come from? Like, even, but as a young girl, I remember being 8 years old. Like, I will never forget this. I was eight, and I feel like that's when I had my first vision. Like, I just saw this really successful, beautiful woman. Like, and I will always visualize, like, I would get stopped in my track and I would visualize this woman. And I'm walking in that woman that I used to see when I was 8 years old. And it's just like, wow. Like, I it's just unbelievable, because I'm walking in that as a kid, 8 years old. Like, I had a very traumatic childhood. I had a very, like, my life was not beautiful. That is why my book is called The Cries from a Gracefully Broken Woman, because my life was not beautiful, but I still was seeing the positive in the future. And I believe that I was getting a download even then of who I am going to be today, you know? And it was just like, wow. Yeah. Sometimes I have to say, like, I'm really walking in who I saw when I was a kid. That's so, I don't want to say like cringy, but sometimes it's like, what was that? You know, like,
that's, like a lot. That's amazing. And I think that having, you know, those moments of reflection really help us see the work that we've done on ourselves or the work that we've gone through, what we've done, how we spend our time and all that stuff. Even when there's tough seasons in it still, we're like, okay, I made it through that time. I made it through that time. And this is who I am today. So I love that you remember that vision as an 8 year old. That's cool.
Yeah. It makes me like I even went to school for human services because when I was eight, I wanted to be social worker. I wanted to do stuff to help people. So when I went to school, I went for human services and I loved helping people. It's just thriving in who you saw when you were young makes you realize that we really have a purpose. Like, we really have a purpose on this earth, because there's no reason I was given a glimpse of who I'm going to be in the future. And now I'm walking in that. If we did not have a purpose, that connects, you know, it's not like I was imagining this thing. It's who I was supposed to be. And I got a glimpse of that. So then I had this eager feeling to strive to be that person. And there it is. It's manifestation.
Yeah, that's amazing. So yeah, how has that looked with your purpose? So do you have words that you put to your purpose, or what does that look like for you?
Yes, I do. I'm big on manifestation. I believe in that. And a lot of people say, oh, it's witchcraft. I don't believe that that's witchcraft. I believe you see yourself, you speak yourself into your next level. I mean, of course you got to put in the work to get there, but I believe if you can see it, and you believe it for your life, and then you put the action in to get it, you just manifested that life. So I definitely believe in speaking things to myself. Like, even like, I have a problem with anxiety. Like, I'm literally diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. So it's like a disorder that I have. However, when I'm going through those phases where I'm feeling anxious, I say to myself, you're going to get through this like you did last time. This is just a temporary phase. You're just overwhelmed. And that quiets my mind down. It literally quiets my mind down. And even when I feel like, oh, I'm not on the level of someone else to go and speak at the event or be in the crowd with them, I say, I'm deserving of that. That's the door that I'm walking into. I'm going to make connections at this place that's going to help me get to my next level. And every single time it happens, just like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah, having that vision for something greater is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking over your life, I really believe in that. A lot of people don't believe in that, but I believe the tongue is a tool. The tongue is a tool. You can speak life or death over yourself. And I believe in speaking life over myself, because there was many times that I spoke death over myself and they led me into these dark valleys of my life. But now that I speak life into myself and I believe it this time, it has to happen for my life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you have the tools too, because sometimes life just doesn't go according to plan or expectations. Exactly. And so then you have the tools to, I feel like, get back up quicker or to see things differently. Like, what is this moment trying to teach me?
Yes.
At least that's what I've learned. And it stinks when you're going through it.
Yeah.
But knowing that you'll come out on the other end eventually helps.
And that's a good mindset to have. Like, what is this moment trying to teach me? Like, some people don't know how to develop that in the middle of their mess, because who wants to think like that in the middle of their mess? We want to be like, how am I going to get out of this? You know?
Yeah.
But when you think of it, what is this moment trying to teach me? It allows you to handle that, like maneuver through that moment with grace. And that allows you not to get overwhelmed, stress yourself out, and feel like a failure, you know, and give yourself grace to get through it. I believe that.
Yeah. 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 And having those tools and putting like words, because I've dealt with situational depression throughout my life and stuff like that. And so it's like, okay, this is just a season. How can we move through it? And I'm glad that that conversation is coming up a lot more as far as mental health and how we deal with things. And just, I think knowing that so many people are walking this hard road as well. And so having more empathy for other people, I wish we had more of it in the world. I think we're still deficit in it, but I think the more of us that can show up with it, it will help other people. So
exactly. I love that. Like, just really caring, because they say health is wealth, but mental health is really wealth, because I can have my health, but if my mind is not healthy, then what do I have? You know, so I'm big on mental health. Like, I'm a NAMI advocate. So like, I'm big on mental health. That's my thing, because when I was going through like getting my diagnosis for generalized anxiety disorder, I had depression. I had so much stuff. They didn't know what I was dealing with because I was young. And that was like the darkest season of my life, because my mind, I was having panic attacks. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
I was having panic attacks, but I didn't know what it was. I'm just thinking it's over for me, because I didn't know what it was. So it was a really dark season. I'm talking about panic attacks at least 6 to 7 times a month. Like, I didn't know what was triggering them. I didn't know nothing about mental health. Like, I just didn't. So once I got the diagnosis, I dived deep into researching it and researching, because I'm not big on medication. So I was like, okay, I'm not big on medication. Of course, I took it to get me through that season, because I needed it at that moment in my life. However, I knew I wanted to be off of it. So I started researching things that I can do for myself to help me get to a place where I can handle this. I haven't had panic attacks in over 3 years. So that's good for me. You know, that's a blessing for me. And as far as anxiety, I still deal with it. You know, I still deal with it, but I write it out. I speak it to myself. I speak to myself, and it decreases. It truly does. And I walk, I eat different. I just do different things to help myself out. And I'm glad that the world is finally recognizing that these are real things that real people deal with. And it does not make you abnormal at all.
Exactly.
In fact, it makes you normal because we
We all have a mind, we all have a body and different things. Yeah. And I think having that language to put to it is so helpful. Like you said, like, because I'm sure that can be scary when something new is happening in your body and your mind. And what is happening? Am I going crazy? Am I, you know, like all these things because of media and stuff like that. So it's amazing that you got the help you needed. And then did your own work to help yourself even more.
Yes, exactly. Because I knew, I was like, listen, like, I have a lot of addiction in my family. And I always thought it's something bigger than just an addiction. And I feel like it was self-medicating. I knew I didn't want that for my life. I'm like, no, I'm about to find out what's wrong with me. Because in my community, they don't believe in mental health. It's like, girl, go on somewhere. No, it's real and it's okay. Like, don't make people feel like it's not a real thing or make it feel like they're going crazy, because no, it's a real thing. And I knew I was determined not to fall into addiction. I knew I was determined to overcome anything that came my way. So I said, look, I'm going to get myself some help, because apparently my mind needs it and I want to be healthy in life. So,
yeah. I always find that so inspiring of people that just go out of the norm of their environment that they're in, and just that drive to see a different way forward. So thank you so much for sharing that. Cause it's so easy just to go along with the flow of what you know. And so I always wonder, what is that special thing within people that choose a different path and know that there is something better out there?
And I think it for me really was, again, that vision that I had of this beautiful, successful woman as a child. I wanted to see who that woman was. I was like, because I didn't know it was me, because when you're in the middle of your mess, you can't see the beauty of it. Like, you cannot see it. And I was a child going through mess. So, you know, a child mind really can't process that they're going through this for something greater. But I saw that vision. I'm like, I want to know who that woman was, because she was beautiful. Like, I'm talking about inside was reflected out. So I was like, I want to see who this woman is. And it's me. It's who I am today. And it's, and I held on to that. And I feel like that's what helped me to break those generational curses, because I'm a first time generation college graduate, the first one to move out of state, start my own business, write a book. I'm the first of a lot in my family.
Yeah. So how is that your family seeing you accomplish all these things? Are they good support, or is it still kind of like, what's happening with her? Like, how do you, right? Because sometimes the message is family is everything, right? And we want to please different people. So how do you just keep doing your own thing when maybe the support isn't there from family or friends?
Well, I moved over 1,300 miles away. So I'm in Georgia by myself. I'm originally from Nebraska. So I moved far away because I was too stuck on what they thought about me. And when you look around, there was no success. There was the same exact thing. And I was just like, this is making me physically sick. This is not healthy for my children to see. So I moved away, and they still on my social media. They don't comment, but I keep striving, because I'm like, I feel like you can plant seeds and in the due time, the increase gonna come. I don't have to badger anybody to change their life, or when they see it, that's when they gonna wanna change. I really believe in that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Change the environment, right? It's like getting work done. Like, if you know you're not getting your work done at home, go somewhere else to get it done. If you're not succeeding, go somewhere else. And, you know,
get it done. We have to, because that complacency will drive you into the ground.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. So since you've moved away, and, you know, I've moved many times as well. So, like, building that new community, what has that looked like for you as far as finding like-minded, purpose-driven people?
I feel like they attracted to me now. Like, when you do the work and people really see, that's what I meant. Another question you asked about the imposter, fake it till you make it. When you faking it until you make it, you're not opening yourself up to attract the authentic people into your life. You're going to attract other individuals that's faking it till you make it. It's going to be a mess. So I feel like once I start doing the work, once I position myself to be in this place of being this successful woman, once I did the work, those people are attracted to me now. So now my circle is all successful people, people that's going in the right direction in life, healthy-minded people, people that's not afraid to be who they are destined to be. And I attracted that just by shifting who I was. So I feel like those people are now, I don't even attract the people that I used to attract 10 or 5 years ago. And it's so odd, you know, because when people used to say that, like, you attract what you are, I didn't believe that, because I did not want to believe that I was toxic. But when you really shift and you look back, you're like, oh yeah, I was toxic. And now you're attracting the people that match who you are. You realize, wow, that's a true statement.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so, do you believe in that?
I do. I think because I go to back to my values, you know, it's like, what do I value and who do I want to spend my time and energy on? And it's just exhausting to try to be around people that just don't align.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to like dismiss that. But I'm also like, I have to guard my time and energy.
Yeah.
And if it's not there, then it's not for me. And so I have to be okay with that too, because again, going back to like showing up as ourselves and worrying about what other people think, I'm like, why am I trying to impress this person? Cause it's not even somebody that I want to like do life with, you know, like values don't align.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's really interesting, you know? So just like unpacking that these last few years, just like, where did that come from?
Yeah. Sometimes you could be picking up their energy. They might be trying to impress you and you might be thinking it's, you feel something, but you might be thinking it's you. I really believe in that. And I believe when you align with people that's not going on the same path, it's just like you got two cups of water. One cup is empty, but with a little bit of water in it, but your cup is like overflowing. So you constantly pouring, and their cup got a hole at the bottom. So it's just sucking all of you, all of your water. And when you feeling drained and you feeling less than, they can't even pour back into you because y'all don't have the same value. You're not even in position to receive from them. And that don't make you better than them. That don't make them less than you. It just means that the journey is over. The season is over. The season is over.
Yeah. And I think that's been part of my learning too, because like, I don't want to just brush people off because it's like, we all go through our thing, but I think it is, putting maybe boundaries on it.
Mm-hmm.
How much time am I spending with them or what does that look like when I just don't have it to give at the time and not feeling too bad about that, you know, like as a people pleaser and stuff like that. So.
I was just like that. And sometimes I find myself with certain people, even men, like that's another thing that I feel like is my issue. I feel like I get on these and then men always distract me. So like just wanting to please. And if they ask for something, be like, oh, sure, I can help you do that. I'm just like, no, I'm in a season where I'm like, I cannot do that no more. Like, again, it's not somebody I can even see myself doing life with. So why do I feel like I have to build their business from scratch or always pour into them or always lift them up when they can't even do that for me? Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Reciprocal relationships where it is, because like I'm single, you know, and so I feel like I have a pretty good life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've come through a rough patch lately, but like coming through that, I'm like, wow, I really need somebody to add to it and not distract from it. So it is going to take a special kind of someone to align my journey with.
Yeah. So. And just recently, this is mind blowing because I was in the kitchen again. I'm a vision. Like I have visions and I dream. I'm that type of person. I have downloads that literally stop me in my track and they come to pass. Like it really comes to pass. And I was in the kitchen and I was cooking dinner. And literally, I just had a download of I feel like my husband, and like he was helping me with my children. We were like a good team and stuff like that. So I'm like, I received that for my life. I'm positioning myself for that for my life. And literally, it came to me clear as day that I needed to go to the store, specific store, get this journal, and I was to write out how to position myself. Like I'm starting a book right now. And the book is Positioning Myself for a Kingdom Husband. So I'm starting that now. And at each and every day, I'm getting different downloads on what to put in there. So I'm like, is he on his way or what? Like that just made me realize like, wow, I think I'm positioning myself to receive that. And a lot of times what we do is we want that and we pray for that. And we desire that so bad that we neglect the fact that it's really about working on us. Because when we get to that point, that person gonna be attracted into our life anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Well, that'll be fun to see when that comes out and comes to fruition.
I was like, I'm excited.
Yeah, and that's awesome that you're like, you know, to document this journey, you know, like through your journal and stuff like that. And I think I'm learning that too, because I've always liked to journal. But I'm like, no, let's be more intentional about this so that I can find the information I need. And I, you know, need to share that part of the story, or even just reflecting back on life. So
yeah, that's how my journal is called, Learning to Love Thyself, in my devotional. That is a documentation of every step I took. Like my ex, it was over between us, but he had got somebody pregnant while we was together. And that hurt. We was together. That hurt. But I knew I no longer wanted to be in that, you know? So I remember going to sleep crying. And I was just, the last thing I said is, I said, God, heal me till it does not hurt anymore. Like it was no longer praying for him to have a shift. It was praying for my healing. And I literally heard Learning to Love Thyself. Got up, wrote it down, literally 40 days. Like literally, actually 60 days. That's the journal is 60 days. The journal is 30 days. The devotional is 30 days, but they go together. And it was documenting my whole self-love journey. And when I was done with that, I was a new person. Like my mindset, it was, I was just a new person. And I didn't look at life the same anymore. And it allowed me to give grace in that situation as well.
Yeah. Right. Then we don't hold those grudges as much because we can just release them for their journey. And we just know we have control over us. It's amazing.
Exactly. It was like the season is up. A lot of times people come in our life for a lesson, a season, and a blessing. When we done learning that lesson, that person has to go. And sometimes we hang on to people longer than they're supposed to be there. And that hurts. I mean, you cut up your hands. Now I'm talking about in the spiritual sense, not physical, but you cut up your hands, you cut up your heart, because you're holding on to something that was only supposed to be a lesson for a season. And a lot of times we do that, especially as women, especially women that, you know, went through some type of trauma in their childhood or even in adulthood. And when we realize that we have to let seasons flow, I'm talking about life gets so much better. And I still struggle with that. So I don't want to make it seem like I have it all together, because that is far from the truth. But I understand it's quicker now to release it because I understand, okay, last season I realized that letting it go, holding on for it to this long only hindered me. So if I let it go sooner, I know I'm going to be good. I know I'm going to go through the motion, but I'm going to learn from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on that same path. It's like, okay, I can feel it, but how can I release it as quickly as possible? Cause it's just too heavy to carry, cause we have work to do. And so it's like, okay, how can I get focused on what I do have control over and how I show up and how I want to feel in my days. So that's awesome. Yeah. Cool. That's so much goodness right there.
Yes.
I could talk to you for a long time.
Yes. It's like a breath of fresh air.
Well, and that's why I love doing these podcasts, because you find your people, you know, you're like, because sometimes it can feel isolating as far as like what you're doing. It's like, am I just speaking into the void? And does anybody get me? Am I making sense? And then with different connections, it's like, no, there are people out there that are, that get it, you know, like get what I'm thinking or get where I'm going with this and don't see it in a way that might be more publicized out in media because maybe the platform's bigger or, you know, because people want to kind of chase certain things, you know, and so it's just nice to connect with people that.
I love it. Yes, I love it. And again, people chase like what looks good instead of what's effective. But then when what looks good fades away, they want what's effective. So I believe if you continue to do it, keep pouring out, the people gonna come, because people are wanting what's gonna work for them. But at the moment, they don't even know they need that, because they looking at, oh, this person's life looks like this. Oh, this person, no, you need what's effective. What's gonna cause you to grow? You know, so I feel like you keep doing it and you just meet your people, like you said, and that's the beauty in it.
Yeah. And I think patience comes with that, right? Because it is a slower journey than that fast kind of thing that we're sold. And I think that's like how I want to encourage people that are really on this purpose-driven life of service, like give it time. It will unfold, and it probably is not going to be as quick as you want. Just because it takes time. Like, we don't see the harvest the day we plant the seed. And so I think that's what we have to stay focused on. And if we truly are living in our purpose, we can sit with that as we grow and change and evolve. So
Yes. Cool. And healing takes patience. I mean, it's not a long journey. And from what it sounds like, this is a healing podcast. If I'm not mistaken, it just sounds like it's going to bring healing to the nation, not just people where you at, but to people all over the world. So of course it's going to take patience when it's growing, you know, but when it's get there, it's going to be like, wow, my consistency, I did not give up. Even when I did not find my tribe fast as I wanted to, I did not give up. And look at it now, look at the souls that it's saving. Look at the people that lives are being transformed because of me being true to myself and showing up for myself and releasing any and everything, even material things that don't align with who I am right now.
Right. Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. So how can people find your books and journals and devotional?
So they're on my website, which is SadieMayEvans.com. And also on Amazon, they're on Amazon as well. And you on Instagram at SadieMayEvans_coaching and consulting. You can follow me. I do videos and things of that nature. And I speak. And I also have a YouTube channel I'm so excited about. It's Sadie Evans. And it's just Soul Food with Sadie. I'm big on really helping people realize that our soul is the most important force that we have. And if we can really heal that and transform that, it's going to come out on the outside as well.
Yeah. That's amazing. All right. Yes. We'll make sure we get all that info in the show notes so people can click on it and get to you and just really connect with you. And because I love the message that you're sharing with the world and the work that you're doing and overcoming all the trauma to get to the triumph, like you said. So that's amazing. Yeah. Thank you again for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm such an honor to be here and be in your presence.
I can't thank you enough for listening to these podcast episodes and supporting the work that I'm doing here. If you can think of anybody that could benefit from the conversation I just had, please go ahead and forward that to them. If you are on Apple Podcasts, a review would be much appreciated, or a follow on Spotify is how I can continue to get the word out about the work that I'm doing here. If you would like more support and encouragement throughout your week, you can find me on Instagram at A Creative Purpose. And I would also like to drop into your email box with some more insights and encouragement throughout your weeks. And you can do that at NaomiGeidel.com. Until next time, go serve the world as only you can.